Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today we have a very special guest with us. This is my friend Kimmy, my very dear friend. We have known each other since we were 17, and we did a summer program together that I think I've talked about at Stanford in philosophy. and we were really good friends during that program, and then we lost touch and reconnected when we were both living in New York, probably around when we were 26 or 27, and have been dear, dear friends ever since. Kimmy is just a wonderful person. She's such a good friend. She's supported me through everything I've gone through with my health issues. She even wrote an article about me. She's a beautiful writer. She wrote an article about me for her blog that you guys might have seen if you follow me on Facebook. Kimmy now lives in Phoenix with her husband, who I remember her meeting when she was still in New York, when we were both in New York. And she works in marketing, but also has, in addition to her passion for writing, also has a huge love for fitness. And we'll talk about that more as the podcast progresses. But yeah, welcome, Kimmy.
Thanks, Dina. That was an introduction. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for being here. Is there anything else you want to add in terms of introducing yourself?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think you covered it pretty well.
So I thought we would start with talking about our experience at Stanford when we were high schoolers doing this these philosophy classes, these college philosophy courses, because we were so cool. And I was gonna ask you, like, what made you first sign up for that, or like how did you hear about it and like happen upon it?
Yeah, that's funny. I was trying to think back. I know that it's so funny because I remember in an earlier episode of your podcast and you had mentioned, you know, these are kind of the things that you used to do. And like, yeah, super, like that was totally me also. I went to all of the kind of, I don't know, academic focused camps. I think there was another one at Duke that I went to several summers in a row. Like I can't remember, TIP. I think it stood for Talent Identification Program or something, where you take the SATs when you're in seventh grade or something. And then you take classes for a few weeks in the summer. And I think that, you know, I kind of graduated and you were only able to do that for so many years. And then I guess I kind of just was looking for the next thing that was similar to that. And I think at the time I was exploring this idea of majoring in philosophy, or I had an interest in philosophy courses and psychology and that kind of thing. I think that it might have come out of this like brooding teenage, like, oh, like introspection or something like that phase of my life more than anything. But then I was like, oh, like philosophy camp at Stanford, that sounds great. And I also think that Stanford was kind of on my radar to potentially go to college. So yeah, some combination of those things led me there.
Yeah, I think I similarly, first of all, yeah, I heard of that Duke program. I didn't know that you did that. But yeah, I similarly was like, because I like debate team and stuff like that. And I was like really into like, whatever, thinking about these big picture questions. And I think I was looking for something to do that summer. And either I found it or my mom found it or something online. And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
That's so funny.
But it really was awesome to go. I mean, we were both from the East Coast, so to like fly out to Stanford and like be on the campus and
Oh my
be
gosh.
around there was like really cool.
Yeah, it was it I agree. I thought it was a great experience. I loved the campus. I loved the weather. It was just beautiful, and it felt like, you know, we got to be kind of college kids for a few weeks. And yeah, I think that the academic part of it was also very rigorous and stimulating too. And I think we talked about this before too, but I was also very relieved to hear on your podcast that you also thought that it was very challenging, because I was like, oh my gosh, like this is really hard. Like, I mean, I think I told you, like I got my first C ever in at that program. And like, I mean, just like on any side of sort of assignment, like I didn't get my first B on in like a class until like second or third year of college, and like was just like, you know, like I so like I was just like mortified and so stressed out. And like I remember just like us being up and like reading each other's drafts of papers and things like that. So yeah, I don't know. It I think it was a very good like before college experience to get kind of get ready for college also.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was really academically intense. For me, it was like the opposite of that Columbia program that I did the previous summer, where we literally like had no homework and just like ran around New York City. And this was like yeah, super, super academically intense. Probably, yeah, more intense than most classes that I took in college and more demanding. We had like 5 hours of class a day, and then we had like tons of reading and constant like response papers and essays to write. But it was also very like, I don't know, exciting to be like working at that level and like yet stimulating, like you said.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Just be in that environment, and I also remember like a lot of fun too, like you, me, and then Kim sort of, and Jane also became all became really good friends, and we would go off and I don't know, like just explore the town and the area and the campus, and it felt very, very adult-like at the time.
Yeah, it was so fun. Yeah, we all did become really close friends, and I remember, well, two things. First of all, I remember before it was like the whole program was only 3 weeks long. It was like really condensed. It was still college credit, but like because we met for so many hours a day, it was only 3 weeks. So it was really short, and I think like the first, it was probably like the first like one day or 2 days of the program, but it felt like an eternity before I met you guys, and I like didn't know who to be friends with, or, and my roommate was like having like a guy. So I had a roommate that like we just didn't particularly click, and she had like a guy sleepover in her room when I was in our room, and I
Oh
was
my
like,
gosh.
oh my God. So I was so happy when I met you guys, because you and Kim and Jane were like the two other girls that we were good friends with in the program. But I think you and Kim became friends first, and then I like somehow like connected to you guys, and I was like, yay.
I know. No, it was great. I love it was a very I don't know, fulfilling feeling to like find your group at a in a situation like that where you go in not knowing anybody, but then you're there
Yeah.
spending all day every day with these people.
Yeah. And I also remember us going jumping in like all the fountains at
Yes.
Stanford.
Oh my gosh, yes.
There are so many cute photos that, yeah, we that if we had video on this podcast, we could share. At least I still have like a bunch of them from us like jumping in various fountains.
Yes, I remember that too.
Yeah. So and then we just both kind of went our separate ways, and didn't reconnect until I think I reached out to you when we were both living in New York, kind of out of nowhere, and was like, "Oh, hey, you're in New York too. What's happening?"
Yeah, I do remember that. I think that you messaged me, and I was like, oh wait, that's so crazy. I'm trying to think what t like the time period. I mean, obviously you were working as a lawyer at the time. I can't remember which part phase of my New York life I was at that specific time, but I remember it feeling very nice to have a comforting friend from, you know, from like pre-college in the city as well.
Yeah, totally. Oh, by the way, sorry, this is like non-linear, but just I remember to what you were saying about how you like one of the reasons that you were interested in like philosophy and psychology was this like teenage angst. I also remember that this might totally embarrass you and we can cut it out if needed, but I remember you had like a, I don't know if it was like a live journal or some kind of like journal that you like told us about or something. And it was like, yeah, it was just like classic like teen live journal.
Totally, like very like emo. Don't know. I just like what does this mean, or like what is my like purpose in the world, or
Yeah,
I don't know.
it
Just
was wonderful.
that's funny. That's so funny.
So the other thing that we wanted to really talk a lot about, and that I knew about you when we were in New York, is basically your fitness journey, because you are really into fitness. It's a huge part of your life. It's something that you love and get a lot of meaning from. So I thought maybe we would start from the beginning, and if you could share a little bit about kind of what drew you, how you started basically on your fitness journey, and what kind of drew you in that direction.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny because when we were chatting a little bit about this before, and I was kind of remembering things as we went along, I was like, "Oh wow, I forgot about this or that," or and it just jogged a lot of things that I had forgotten about, or just sort of like take with a grain of salt. So I did not grow up as a young child in a lot of organized necessarily my. For background, my parents are Thai. They immigrated from Thailand in the 80s, and I was born in Atlanta, but they did not know English when they moved here, and so like first generation experience, and it was more like, okay, you have to like it was very my growing up was very focused on achievement and academics and school and like doing well in school and going to a good school and then getting a good job and establishing yourself. So sports weren't really a thing. It was kind of like, oh, sure, like let's I don't know, do this as a social thing as opposed to more of like a rigorous extracurricular. My parent, like I didn't get sort of told to do. I was more curious about it. And yeah, so I joined, I think, track in middle school.
Oh, you're picking
I
up
sort
a
of
little
always
bit.
like, oh,
That's
sorry. Okay. Is this better?
Yeah.
No.
No, maybe.
Okay.
It's hard to tell because you'll be good for like a little stretch, but then break up a little.
Okay.
But this sounds fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Please let me know.
No,
Sorry.
don't worry.
Let's see. Anyway, sorry. I feel like, gosh, I'm like, I feel like this is becoming a very long-winded story, but basically I did track in middle school. I did soccer in high school, but none super competitively. I didn't do club. I didn't have like outside coaches. It was just like to be on the team or like semi okay like school teams, and I was semi okay within those teams. And then I think in college I kind of just gravitated towards running because it was the easiest thing, and I do not have very good hand-eye coordination, so I was like, okay, well like this I can do. And it was just easy to throw on shoes and go out the door, and a way to explore a city and get off campus. And I went to school in Philadelphia, but it was like very much a bubble on campus, and I liked to be able to see other parts of the city. And yeah, I think I kind of fell into running there, and it was became sort of a stress relief also. And then when I'm trying to think, where did I go next? DC. Yeah, I don't know. To sort of kind of summarize, I feel like something about the just the physical activity and like the constant movement and just like having a high heart rate was like very, very addicting to me. And so I kind of just bounced around with various classes, like boutique fitness classes when I lived in New York, and then found CrossFit here more recently in Arizona. And so now I think that when I first started CrossFit, Andrew, my husband, and I were like, okay, is this going to be like another fate? Like, I just sort of go through these phases where I'm like, yes, this is my thing. Like, I'm going to do bar forever and I'm going to be a teacher. Or like, and then I was like, no, I don't really like, I know I'm going to do spin. Like I'm going to be like the spinner. And then I was like, no, I actually kind of like hate spin. And then so I was like, no, CrossFit.
I can't hear you again. I can't hear you. Okay, we're going to take a quick pause, work through some technical issues, but we will be right back. Hi, everybody. We are back. Apologies for the technical issues. As you guys know, we are not a professional podcast yet. The tools we have at our disposal are just our regular phones and internet connections. But yeah, thank you for bearing with us and welcome back, Kimmy.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I was there trying to avoid certain noises and distractions and then ended up running into others. So apologies there.
No worries. It's a crazy, things are going crazy in Phoenix right now.
Apparently, plane flight paths are just going crazy.
Anyway, so you were talking about you talked a little bit about running and fitness first in high school, then in when you were living in DC, then in New York, and moving to Arizona. Do you want to just keep going on that, or should we move to another specific question?
Yeah, sure. I think that I pretty much that sort of summarized my evolution. I will say one thing too is that when I moved to Arizona, I didn't know anyone. Andrew, my husband, was already here. We were doing long distance, and I was in New York, and he was in Arizona at the time. So then, when I eventually moved out here, I pretty much didn't know anybody except him. And he basically like dropped me off one sa Saturday at a group run, and was like, "Okay, go make friends." And I did. And so that I think that because that was sort of my introduction into Arizona was a running group. It just kind of continued on from there. So yeah, like pre-Arizona, which is just the past 5 years, I had done I think maybe like one half marathon in like the whatever 10 years that I had been running, and was like, I never need to do this again. Or no, actually no, that's not true. Maybe I had done like two or three total or something. And then now since then, in the past 5 years, or I guess it's been 5 years since I've been here, five or six maybe, yeah, I've done like six full marathons and like I don't know, 20 or 30 half marathon. So just to give
Wow.
the perspective of the time, like how condensed it's been in the past few years and how I think that my moving here and the friends that I met and the network that I kind of grew for myself was through fitness was a big reason as well.
And your husband is also really into fitness, and that's something that you guys that's a hobby that you guys share, and that's something you guys both really love.
Yes, it is. It was something that was sort of a common area of interest for us when we first met. And I think kind of, yeah, we just sort of like feed off of each other, and we have different strengths and weaknesses, and he's much more hand-eye coordinated than I am and had played soccer like pretty competitively growing up, but then fell into triathlon and does that a lot. And but I kind of like pull him into CrossFit stuff a little begrudgingly. So yeah, it's just nice to have somebody as like shared conversation. Like even just this morning, I can't remember how it came up, but we were just talking about like heart rates, and he was like, well, I think that because like you have a lower heart rate, whatever, like average heart rate or resting heart rate and stuff, it allows you to do more work. I don't know. We just got into this big debate, and I was like, no, well, I think that like, but I can't get up to the same heart rate as you. And like, I don't know. It just sort of like spiraled. But it's just, yeah, it's nice to have somebody to kind of feed off of.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the community of runners that and people at CrossFit that you met in Arizona with the runners, you guys would go to races together, right? They would be kind of like organized
Yeah.
reps sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely became a sort of a way to travel and see other places. Like there would be a group that would go to San Diego. Yeah, which you met us at a couple of times, or we've done that race a couple of times, and you met us there for the rock and roll half or full. I can't remember which one we were doing at the time. And then yeah, we'll do like Sedona, and I'm trying to think if there have been other ones that we've traveled for, but even just the local Arizona ones as well. It's sort of like it's kind of your social activity. You do your run, and then you go out to eat, or maybe you do your pre-race dinner together, and yeah, just socialize also.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's so nice to have like a. I feel like I've really struggled, as you know. By the way, totally random note, but I just want to say, Kimmy is one of the podcast's most dedicated listeners and biggest fans, and I really appreciate that. She's always like, "Oh, you're saying this on your podcast," and like that made me think this, or like, "Here are my thoughts on that," and I just love it. It's so wonderful to hear your feedback and to know that you're listening, and just as usual, to have like such support from you.
Oh yeah, no, it's my pleasure, of course. And I really truly enjoy it. I think that I don't know, as I was telling you, like I listen to it on my runs, and I do not listen to anything on my runs usually. My people think I'm like they're like, who are you? Like, how do you not listen to music when you run? Or like podcasts or anything. But I don't know why, for some reason, it's just like it sort of allows me to kind of step out of my own world, and yeah, I gain a lot from the podcast.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, okay, that was it. That was just a brief diversion and podcast
That was not
plug.
planned.
Yeah, that was not planned. And I guess if you're listening to the podcast, you don't really need a podcast plug. But anyways, what I was saying was I found it really difficult to develop like hobbies that I can really stick with. Like I've tried some. And they inevitably, I like get bored or whatever, something else happens. So the fact that this is something that you found for yourself, that you have sustained and has evolved like over so many years is amazing.
So that's so interesting to me to hear like an outside perspective on that, because I very much appreciate that, because I don't think of it as something like that. And it's true. It's good. I mean, I was like, oh yeah, that's true. I can be really consistent, and I don't know. I've bounced around professionally, geographically, like in many other ways. Even like within fitness, I think I've sort of alluded to, I bounced around with that too. But yeah, and it's something where other people are like, oh gosh, how do you do it every single day? And like that's so motivating, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, this is literally the easiest part of my day. Like this is like the best part of my day. And like I don't know, it's just it's the everything else that it's kind of like dragging my feet about.
Yeah. Because you enjoy it. It's just you're doing it because you want to and you enjoy it. And so it doesn't feel like, oh, I have this like annoying like commitment that I have to do. It's like this like makes me feel really good.
Yeah, exactly. And just I think that having the different, it's just there's always something new or different or challenging, or like some if it's a CrossFit workout, like strategizing, okay, if I'm doing these movements and this rep scheme, I would treat it differently if I was doing, X, like a different set of movements. And like if you're doing like 10, 5 movements for 10 rounds or whatever, I don't know, 5 rounds, 10 reps for time or something like that, versus like, a set 10 minutes and you have to do as many reps as possible of something. It just and just the strategy that goes into it. And then, same thing with running, like there's like intervals or there's like I like constantly play like math games in my head too. I'm like, okay, I started out at this pace. This mile was this. If I cut it down to like this pace for the next mile, then it shaves off how many seconds off of my like overall time. And I don't know, it just like I'm just I guess I like entertain myself that way.
Yeah, well, there's always so much more growth you can do. And I know you've from not just like if you are trying to improve your times or improve your fitness, it's like everything from like sleep and food and like there's just like so many different components and like your mindset and the psychological aspect, which I want to discuss too, because I'm really curious about how that has affected your performance and what you've learned from like that perspective about how to I don't know, just yeah, like what you've learned about mindset through all of the training and the races and everything. But yeah, it just seems like there's just like an endless array of things to explore.
Yeah, absolutely. And also though, I feel like I should have caveated this at the beginning by saying, like, I am not like uber competitive. I'm sort of like, I'm not the fastest and I'm not the slowest and I'm not, the strongest. I feel like I think I read something, I can't remember. I don't want to steal credit per se, but I feel like it just some, I don't know. I don't know where I came across it, but it's sort of like, it was like outlift a runner and outrun a lifter. And I think that that sort of summarizes me, like, within the running group, I might be like a little bit more on the stronger, whatever. Like I do more weights probably than like the average, like just runner. That's not a professional runner, I mean. And like for within like the CrossFit community, I'm usually like, I do the best at workouts where running is involved. But I'm not like, like within those mediums, I'm not the top of either one per se.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and I think you've talked a lot about kind of decoupling like the performance aspect from like you're so into it not to be like number one or something, but just because the experience itself like brings you so much. And yeah, I think that's really cool too.
Yeah, I think that is something that's sort of, I mean, it's nice. There are opportunities to measure yourself against other people, but ultimately, the majority of the time, it's just against yourself, or, which is very, I think, very, very beneficial for me.
So what are some of the life
Oh,
lessons
gosh.
or just like mind, this is a really broad question. So if nothing comes to mind, that's totally cool. But what do you feel like, what are little things that you've learned either about yourself while running or like about healthy ways to approach things or like, yeah, just broader kind of like life stuff, that's come out from your fitness training.
Oh, that's funny because I feel like my answer to this is actually not like, I feel like it's like do as I say, not as I do. Because my per like I would like I think taking rest days and like having focus. Andrew is like really good at this. I just don't have the capability, I think, to like take days off. where even when I know that I really should, it's more of like the mental aspect. Like I need to like do something, and I just have gotten into the habit to where I have to do something every day, even though like really I should just like have a day where I like just do yoga or like just go for a long walk. So I think that is one lesson that I would impart on others that I do not practice. So that maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe okay, like more, I don't know. Yeah, just I feel like this is so cliche, but I guess in another one of your interviews, you guys talked about how some things are cliche for a reason. But working on your weaknesses is, even though it's kind of, it's uncomfortable, and it's easier to just do the movements that, or the type of workouts that you're like, okay, I just like I know I can just like go out there and like run an easy like 5 miles at like an easy pace and not, and that's my workout, rather than go out and do like 400 meter sprints with like 90 seconds of rest in between, or just like changing things up, things that are harder, or like with like I hate front squats, but like I will do, I'm trying to think, like pull-ups like all day long. So I just like, it's hard for me to like force myself, no, like do front squats, like there's a, you're like do pistols, like do the things that you're not good at. And it's so gratifying when you start to see the progress. Or like double unders is a movement. So it's like jump rope, but you're like the rope is the there it's doing two revolutions per jump instead of one. And this is something that I literally struggled with for so long. And it was just be like I would just like get like whipped up by the stupid rope, and like have like Andrew would be like, "What happened to you?" And I was like, "Oh, it's just practicing double unders, and I like have all these like rope burns all over me." But yeah, I mean, but then when you like get them, it's just like, oh, like so gratifying. I mean, in terms of like how do you get like it's really hard to see the point in time, like when you're struggling and like you can't even string together two in a row, like you can't see that moment when of where you like string together 30 in a row, right? So I don't know. I wish I don't have like the secret key to how you get from like that point to the next point, aside from just like putting in the time, and I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how do I like keeping focused on like the goal, or just, yeah, I don't know, just patience. Patience is probably that's yeah, patience.
Well, I think that just that transformation, like being able to see, like however it is you get there, when you go from not being able to do the second one or two in a row to being able to do 30 in a row, and just like constantly seeing your own ability to like achieve change and like make progress. I just feel like that must be really gratifying.
It really is. And like I mean, maybe that's why it's something that I can come back to all the time. Like there's always some new skill, there's always something to improve on, you can always go a little bit faster, you can always like put on like a half pound more of weight or something like that. That made me think of something else. Oh yeah, I think the other thing too that I think is super helpful is, like finding a really good coach, or like a really good, even if it's like a YouTube video, just finding somebody to give those cues or the tips is so helpful. I usually, I mean, during the pandemic right now, I haven't really been going to the gym. Like we sort of have slowly accumulated our own home gym here. So I haven't had a ton of coaching recently, but even still before I didn't do a ton until I started CrossFit. But there's just been like a handful of coaches that I've had that give cues in a way that just really works well for me and it is really effective for me. And, you know, everybody's going to be different. And it's, I mean, it's kind of like finding a therapist, I feel like, that you've alluded to before too, where it's like, okay, this person might have like something helpful here, but like maybe they're not quite right for everything. So yeah, I think just finding some of the other kind of outside sources.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So anything more on the fitness topic before we move to the next question?
Yeah, I don't think so. But again, yeah, I would say do as I say, not as I do.
Do you feel like the fact that you don't take enough rest days has like some negative effect, or do you feel like you're mostly fine anyways?
I feel like overall I'm fine. I don't know, maybe ask me again in 10 years, but no, I mean, like, I definitely do listen to my body. Like, I haven't gotten an injury, I don't even know, like, in a very long time. I mean, I've had like tweaks here and there, or I had some knee tendonitis type of stuff, but nothing that ever kind of really took me out. So it's not like I like overdo it to the point where I just like totally crash. But I'm just like not maximizing my, like, if I'm probably not being like super efficient basically by just kind of like slogging through
Well, it makes sense though, because like you are listening to your body and it sounds like your body just like really wants that consistency. So maybe you're doing, coming from the fitness expert that I
know.
But I
see, this is why I love your podcast too, because you come with these like kind of insights that I'm like, oh, that's, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Everybody's different. Yeah, I don't know.
So the last thing I wanted to ask you about, and this might also be embarrassing to talk about, but I always love the romance and relationship side of things. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about like what the, like how you and Andrew's relationship evolved, because I know that you, you were in New York, he was in Phoenix, and you had a mutual friend who was like, oh, I think you guys would really get along. And so you didn't, that all you had was that connection. And then you guys started talking on Skype, and like very quickly, I think like it was clear that there was like a really amazing connection between you guys.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to talk about it. It's funny because, you know, when we had talked about doing this, and I was like, oh yeah, that it's fine. Like, nobody's going to listen, or Andrew's not going to like, I'm sure, I was like, oh, I'm sure he's not going to listen. And then I told him after we had talked last night, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be on Nina's podcast. And he was like, oh, well, like I'm going to listen. And I was like, wait, what?
So I was surprised that you said he wasn't going to listen. I thought he would, that makes sense to me.
Well, I was like, oh, okay, cool. which is fine. Like, yeah, I just wasn't, I don't know. Yeah, no, I feel like I feel like it just made everything else, it made me realize like everything else that had been like a struggle in terms of relationships was like, that's not normal, or maybe not like that's not normal. It is very normal. It's like extremely normal, but it's not right. Like, it's not right.
Yeah.
Or it's not right for me. So it was just easy. I just like couldn't believe it. I just like kept pinching myself and being like, wait, something's going to go, like, I kept waiting for the moment for him to change his mind, or for like, aww, him to like, I like kept being like, oh my gosh, now this is what's going to make him like run away, or like, I don't know. He was so engaging. I remember, it was around the time when you and I had reconnected, and we were sitting in a Starbucks, and I think it was, I can't remember if it was shortly after he and I had first talked, and like, yeah, I think that he texted me while we were sitting there, and I was like, oh my gosh. I just was like, it was just like very giddy and very like, we had a lot of common interest and a lot of things is that he was just like very attentive, and just really seemed to be interested in what I was saying, which I think is also, yeah, really important when you don't live in the same place and, yeah, don't have, I guess we had our common friend, but yeah, I don't know. It just, it felt so natural.
Did you, and then when you ended up moving to Phoenix, I know you, you were talking about how, you didn't have, other than him, you didn't really have like a community there when you moved. What was that experience like?
I feel like because I think that the thing that I missed more was probably just the New York, the big city aspect. I feel like I got a very good, close group of friends very, like, relatively quickly. And I think that that helped a lot. I think that I sort of missed some of the East Coast aspects of living, but at the same time, I was sort of getting a little burned out from the New York lifestyle too. Mm-hmm. So I viewed it as kind of an opportunity to get myself out of that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think we both talked a lot around probably that time, because that's when I was moving to San Francisco also, about wanting to try something new other than the kind of East Coast vibe. So I think, I totally get that.
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to think. There were a couple of things that made me think of, but I think that they're sort of tangential, and now I've sort of lost my train of thought.
No worries.
I think professionally, maybe that was sort of like, I struggled with that because it took me a while to find my place and to find professionally, like what I was going to end up doing. And I was working in sort of like digital publishing. I think that because I bounced around a little bit career wise already, I came to a new place and was like, which one of my three directions that I could take should I take, basically. And I was just like applying to like consulting jobs, and then I was applying to writing jobs, and I was applying to marketing jobs, and so I think that I struggled with that a little bit. But oh my gosh, Andrew, and I kind of remember, I think, telling you this too, which I had forgotten about until we were sort of re-jogging my memory on this time period. Like, I feel like he really, oh my gosh, he helped me so much trying to, although we did fight over cover letters. We have very different writing styles. He's an engineer, by the way. But like very, very professional, like very successful at kind of doing the networking thing in the engineering world. We just like give each other a hard time about our writing styles. And so I was like, okay, you're not allowed to read my cover letters anymore because like, I would just be ready to send it. And he'd be like, well, like, I think like, did it. And we don't ever really fight, but it would be maybe like the closest that we would come to fighting was over cover letters. But no, he was so, I mean, just like really poor, like to the point where one morning I woke up and he had been up early, and like, I thought that he was working on a weekend, and he had been making like lists of like my strengths and like my and like potential job ideas and like making like pros and cons list for me, because he was just like really wanted to like, he felt like he pulled me out of New York and like really wanted to see me happy and find myself professionally, which I think I needed to leave New York also. But yeah, just leaving without having a specific job already was challenging.
Yeah. I love that him making the list of your strengths and the pros and cons of different jobs. It's just like emblematic of, I don't know, you guys just have like such a beautiful relationship, and I love hearing
about it. Oh, thanks, Dina. And I appreciate that you I don't know that you feel that way because I feel like he can be very introverted sometimes, and I think that sometimes that part of his personality doesn't always come out in our big social gatherings or things like that. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I think so for the podcast listeners who did listen to the Enneagram one, I think that we talked about he so Andrew did it also, and he's a five like Dina, but I think Dina, you sort of were like kind of ambivalent about the assessment and not quite sure that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not a five.
Meanwhile, Andrew is 100% a five. I think it was like there was like
Yeah.
something that was like, is more comfortable with data and inside your own head rather than like external situations. I was like, that is him to a T. So, but he is very, he's, I always tell him, I think that he's like probably the most patient person in the world aside from his dad. So
Oh.
yeah, there's just like so many wonderful qualities that I'm glad to hear that you see that also.
Yeah, I really do. Like, I think, yeah, Andrew, if you're listening, hello there. I can just tell from how you talk about him and just like the stories you tell, like what a wonderful person he is, and like how great, I'm like getting emotional, how great of a fit you guys are for one another, and how happy you guys make each other and stuff. So yeah, that just makes me really happy. And the other thing, just kind of the last point on that, your mom moved
That's right.
from Atlanta to
Yes,
Phoenix.
she did. I feel like as soon as we got engaged, she was like, okay, let's go house shopping. No, she, so she, oh my gosh, it's been wonderful. She moved to Gilbert, which is just a couple of towns over, so like a 20-minute drive or so, and is just like living her best retirement life, which is just so makes me so happy to see. Has, hiking groups and goes like riding. She doesn't, she has a tricycle that she just like rides around her little neighborhood, her little community. And she comes over every Sunday or Saturday, usually Sundays, to help me do meal prep and cook. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's really nice to have her here. I think that also, was a, is a big reason why the move, I don't know, it definitely helped, with the move.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's so nice to have your mom there, and I know how close you are to your mom. And your sister lives on the West Coast now
Yes. So,
too. So.
yep. So she and her husband moved to San Diego. And so I think my mom was also like, okay, well, I don't need to stay here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's yeah, it's really nice to have family close by, and will be really nice when we can all get together more safely.
Yeah. Well, I can cut this out if this is not public information, but both Kimmy and Andrew and I are all getting our first dose of the vaccine
Yay!
tomorrow. So we're very
Yes.
excited.
Arizona luckily has a volunteering, I guess, yeah, option where if you volunteer at the COVID vaccination site, then you get yours as well. So it took quite a bit of finagling on the, not finagling. It's just, it was, the website was like crashing, and I was like, oh my gosh, how do I get in here? But I did eventually get us slots to volunteer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, I think those were the topics I had on my agenda. Was there anything else that you wanted to add or talk about?
I don't. Yeah, not enough. Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoy your podcast, and hopefully it's brought about a lot of different ideas and thoughts from me. So hopefully, I think it is beneficial for other people as well. And yeah, I think that's it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Yeah, I really loved having you on. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And yeah, you're
Oh, thanks, Tina.
the
It was great to chat.
okay, great. So yeah, we'll finish up here, and we will talk to you all next time. Bye.